Before we get started this evening, I'd like you to remember Mrs. Deborah Green. Her father departed to be with the Lord on Sunday. And the funeral arrangement is as follows. There is a visitation on Friday between 10:30 and 11:30 at Fellowship Baptist Church in Stocksville. And of course, the graveside service will be in Andinola at 4:30 p.m. on the same Friday. So remember her. If nothing else, hold her in your prayers. Let's pray. Our most eternal and everlasting Father, we are thankful this evening. Thankful for who you are. Father, you amaze us constantly with your wisdom, constantly with your goodness, constantly with your omniscience. There's no way we can understand what you do for us. But for the little we understand, we thank you. This evening we have gathered to study a portion of your word. We pray that the Holy Spirit will speak to us and challenge us to the things that we hear this evening. For we ask in Christ's name. Amen. We move now to Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. It reads, words from a wise man, a wise man's mouth are gracious, but a fool is consumed by his own lips. At the beginning, his words are folly, and at the end, they are wicked madness. And the fool multiplies words. No one knows what is coming. Who can tell him what will happen after him? A fool's walk wearies him. He does not know the way to town. Words that come out of our mouths or the mouth of an individual are important in at least two ways. Words reveal the kind of person we are. We mean that words that come out of a person's mouth reveal the condition of the soul or reveal what is inside the soul. Does the word that come out of your mouth indicate whether you are the kind of person that conforms to God's standard or not? The psalmist declared that words of wisdom come from the righteous person in Psalms 37 verse 30. It reads, the mouth of the righteous man offers wisdom, and his tongue speaks what is just. The Lord Jesus himself clearly taught while on this planet that what comes out of our mouth reveals the condition of our souls in Matthew chapter 15, verses 11 and 18. Matthew chapter 15, verses 11 and 18. It reads, what goes into a man's mouth does not make him unclean, but what comes out of his mouth, that is what makes him unclean. And drop to verse 18. It says, but the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. So words that come out of our mouths can bring blessing or cursing on others. We mean that our words can heal or they can destroy. Therefore, it is not surprising that we read in Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 21 reads as follows. The tongue has the power of life and death, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So to say that a tongue has the power of life and death is to say that what a person says may mean life or death to another person. Hence, you can bring healing to someone through what you say, or you can destroy someone through what comes out of your mouth. The point is that words that come out of our mouths reveal the kind of persons we are, whether we're fools or wise. Now, Solomon's observations in the passage that we are about to consider supports the truth concerning the importance of words that come out of our mouth. Now, the passage of Ecclesiastes 10, verses 12 through 15 is still concerned with Solomon's third set of his observations regarding the things that take place on this planet. It is his observation that words impact the wise and the fool differently, although he focused more on the impact of words on the fool than on the wise. Thus, when we speak of words, we are primarily concerned with what comes out of a person's mouth or what he utters to the hearing of others. Now, because this passage is concerned with the impact of words on the wise and on the fool, we believe then that there is a simple message the Holy Spirit wants us to convey to you. It is this: be careful with your words, because they have impact on you and reveal if you are wise or a fool. Again, let me say that. Be careful with your words, because they have impact on you and reveal if you are a wise or a fool. Now, in considering this message, it is important you recognize that the words of a wise person are supposed to be quite beneficial to him or her, and also to others. It is probably because the Holy Spirit wants us to understand that the words that come out of our mouth, or the mouth of a wise person in this case, is beneficial to him as well as to those who listen to such individual, that the Holy Spirit directed Solomon to present the first sentence of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12, in such a way that we could interpret it in one of two possible ways. Now, the translators of the NIV gave one possible interpretation, in that they rendered it as, words from a wise man's mouth are gracious. That's one way. However, in literal Hebrew, is elliptical, that is no verbs. That it does not contain a verb, so the literal Hebrew translated into the English reads as follows: the words from the mouth of the wise favor. Let me read that again. The words from the mouth of the wise favor. So no verbs. Now, the verb that is supplied to the Hebrew line in the English translations depends on the meaning assigned to a Hebrew noun that is translated gracious in the NIV and favor in the literal translation I just gave you. Now, the Hebrew noun has two general meanings. A first general meaning is grace. Now, the word grace can refer to kind-heartedness or compassion. It is this, the meaning grace, that is used to describe what God will do to his people in the future, according to the prophecy of prophet Zechariah in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 reads, "And I will pour out on the house of David and the inhabitants of Jerusalem a spirit of grace and supplication. They will look on me, the one they have pierced, and they will mourn for him as one mourns for an only child, and grieve bitterly for him as one grieves for a firstborn son." Now, so here it, the same Hebrew word is translated grace. Now, the meaning grace, though, can refer to charm or elegance in describing the form and appearance of a woman, as in Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30. You may want to put your marker in Proverbs, since we're going to spend quite a bit of time in Proverbs, even though we'll move to other passages, but our focus will be so much in the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 31, verse 30 reads, "Charm is deceptive, and beauty is fleeting. But a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised." Here the word is translated charm. Now the second meaning of the Hebrew word in question is faithful, as it is used in Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. Proverbs chapter 13, verse 15. He reads, "Good understanding wins favor, but the way of the unfaithful is hard." Here the word is translated favor. So, our Hebrew word has two general meanings. The translators of the NIV adopted the meaning gracious. Hence, the translation, "Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious." Now, this translation conveys the truth that is certainly portrayed or given in other passages or places in the Old Testament scripture. For example, we find the truth of graciousness of God's word conveyed in Psalms chapter 45, verse 2. Psalms 45, verse 2. Don't lose your place in Proverbs, because we're coming right back to Proverbs. Psalms 45, verse 2 reads, "You are the most excellent of men, and your lips have been anointed with grace, since God has blessed you forever." Now, the sentence, "your lips have been anointed with grace," conveys the sense that the king in view in this passage is kind and considerate as he talks to the people. So the rendering of the NIV, "words from a wise man's mouth are gracious," in the passage of Ecclesiastes 10 that we're looking at, verse 12, is not without parallel in the Old Testament scriptures. Nonetheless, Majority of our English versions adopted the meaning favor, leading to such translation as, "The words of a wise person win him favor." That's the way you find it in the New English Translation. They said the words of a wise person win him favor. Now the Common English Bible avoided altogether using either the word grace or favor by translating the clause as, "Words from a wise person's mouth are beneficial." So they didn't use the word favor, they used the word beneficial. Now the meaning favor was probably in the mind of Solomon when he wrote the clause that we're considering, because this meaning is implied by the contrast of the effect of words on the fool that we will consider at the right time. Furthermore, a benefit of wisdom is to win favor. If you have wisdom, you win favor, as in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 4. It is, "Then you will win favor and a good name in the sight of God and man." That's the benefit of wisdom, because that's what the chapter is dealing with. So the fact that the proper use of words will win favor for the wise, notwithstanding, we should not completely disregard the idea of the words of a wise man being gracious. Now, as we indicated, it is probably that the Holy Spirit wants us to see both meanings in our passage. In effect, a wise person's words or use of words win him favor because his words are also gracious. Now, this meaning is implied in Proverbs chapter 22, verse 11. Proverbs chapter 22, verse 11. It reads, "He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend." So this passage implies that it is because of gracious speech that a person described as pure of heart is a friend to the king. So we are saying that a wise person's use of words win him favor because his speech is quite gracious. His words bring healing to others, those who are in trouble, as implied in Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. Proverbs chapter 15, verse 4. It reads, "The tongue that brings healing is a tree of life, but a deceitful tongue crushes the spirit." See, the tongue that brings healing is a reference to words that are spoken kindly or in comforting manners. The point being that the words of the wise may win him favor because he speaks kindly or graciously to others. So it is our assertion that the focus of Solomon is on the words of the wise and win him favor. But what are the words of the wise? What are they? Well, They are words or speech that is carefully and thoughtfully uttered. The words of the wise are those that are carefully and thoughtfully uttered. It is this kind of speech of the wise as given in Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 23. Notice our focus, our emphasis is on carefully and thoughtfully uttered words. It is here, a wise man's heart guides his mouth, and his lips promote instruction. See, the word mouth is used here for speech, as reflected in many English versions. For example, the New English Bible translated the first clause, the wise man's speech. The wise man's mind guides his speech. Instead of using the word heart, they use the word mind. Now the sense of the clause is that the person who is wise is careful how he speaks. He watches what he says, or that he carefully measures his words. Words of the wise, or the speech of the wise that wins favor, includes speeches that are presented in an interesting and captivated manner. Now, this kind of speech, the Holy Spirit tells us, should characterize Christians. In Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. Colossians chapter 4, verse 6. It reads, let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. A conversation that is seasoned with salt refers to speech that is pleasant and interesting. In fact, it is the way of talking that will cause people to be interested in what you have to say. Now, this means that you should not use harmful words in your speech, as implied in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It reads, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Now, what's an unwholesome talk? What is it? Because we just touch it here, but we will go into detail when we develop a maze as we study the book of Ephesians. But just to get started so you know what we're dealing with, an unwholesome talk is that which causes trouble. That's what's called unwholesome talk. Anything that comes out of your mouth that causes trouble, that's unwholesome. It is a speech that is intended to corrupt others. So what are you talking about? Well, here it is. In other words, you could say things that, for example, will plant in the minds of people some kind of thought. It could be hatred for others, or that will cause them to have sinful thoughts, Once that comes out of your mouth, you have uttered a harmful speech. So, a wise person who wants to win favor is careful in his or her use of words. You be very careful. You weigh them. I know many times we get carried away, that we don't think about the consequences of what we're saying, or the impact it's going to have on other people. We just fly by whatever comes up. So we should be careful to know that part of the words of a wise person that win him favor may be rebuking others. See, that could be a wise speech coming out of your mouth. When you rebuke people. Now, this, of course, does not seem to be the case, since people do not like anyone to rebuke them. That's just our human nature. We don't like that. We don't want people to rebuke us. Well, all we want is people to praise us. Of course, it is truly a fool that does not like rebuke. So if you anytime you don't like rebuke, just know that you're a fool at that instant. Now this we can deduce from the contrast that a wise person appreciates rebuke, as conveyed in Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10. Proverbs chapter 17, verse 10. He reads, "A rebuke impresses a man of discernment more than 100 lashes a fool." I see, ordinarily, we would think that because of how we do not like rebuke, that's the fallen nature, that it is inconceivable that speech that involves rebuke will win someone favor. However, if a rebuke is properly carried out, it will win favor from the wise person, as per the declaration given in Proverbs 28, verse 23. Proverbs 28 verse 23 reads, "He who rebukes a man will in the end gain more favor than he who has a flattering tongue." Now, of course, you know what people usually do. If you tell them, rebuke them, they get angry. They don't like you at that instant, whatever, just like children. So, this sentence that I just read has the sense that when a person is rebuked, that individual may not like that rebuke at that time, at the time that it's offered. But later, upon reflection, the person will come to see the rebuke as favor done to him or her, and so will appreciate the person who rebuked him or her. Now, of course, this assumes that the individual is not a fool, since a fool will not reflect on the rebuke he or she receives as to understand the merit of such a rebuke. Now, you know, this is generally of all children. When I say children, until they live up, it includes every one of them. When you rebuke a child rarely do what I call reflecting, because what does the Bible say? The Bible says every child is foolish. Every child. There's no doubt about it, who's gone through it, that in the heart of every child there's foolishness, and discipline will drive it away. So, because a child is foolish, when a parent rebukes a child, that child rarely thinks about the rebuke. All that child does is just get angry and angry and angry and try to do something foolish again, of course. So they very rarely are capable of actually thinking through. This is why many times, some of you now who are adults, you can look back and appreciate your parents. But you didn't do that when they were raising you up. It just didn't happen that way. Because you were foolish. But now you can wise out. That's the way it goes. So that foolishness will keep a child from going back to reflect on what it is that the parents were rebuking that child. Now, if you're an adult and you're a fool, they will rebuke you. You just get angry and angry and angry. But you never go back and think, maybe there's a reason what this person is telling me. Maybe there's some value to it. Now, if you do that, you become a wise person, because now you begin to reflect to see if there's something that you've done wrong or something that has gone wrong that you're being rebuked for. And individuals who do that will eventually come back and appreciate the person who rebukes them. So, it is clear then that part of the words of the wise that will win him favor is rebuke of others. But the rebuke should be done in a manner that reveals respect and love for the one being rebuked. That's important. Especially when you're dealing with your fellow adults. Show them, rebuke them, but do it in a way to convey love and concern. Now we are emphasizing the necessity of being careful with the words you use to address people in order to win their favor. Now you may be asking, how do I go about being careful in what I say to people in order to win their favor? So we say this is what you need to do. The next thing is, now how do I do that? The answer is quite simple. Not necessarily it's simple to execute or carry out, but the answer is simple. And it is this. By being sure that your soul is free from sinful thoughts. Your minds should be free of the contamination of sin. Well, see, that's the key. That the mind should be free from contamination of soul, of sin, or free from sinful thoughts. Now, if you do not have bad thoughts, then whatever comes out of your mouth will generally be the kind of words that are meant to win people's favor. Now we say this because what comes out of a person's mouth is a commentary regarding his or her soul condition. In other words, if your mind is free from sinful thoughts, then you cannot utter words that are harmful to others in any form or shape. Because if you are free from any sinful thought, anything that has to do with being contrary to God's norms, if your mind is free of those things, you cannot. It's impossible to utter things that are harmful. So the point we're making is, of course, based on Jesus' assertion that our mouth reveals what is in our soul, as stated in Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34. He reads, "You brood of vipers, how can you who are evil say anything good?" Look at the reason. "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." Oh, here is it then. We know there are times you scare yourself. Well, you know, we don't get involved with that. You scare yourself because you say something and then you catch yourself. You say, "Oh, well, I don't mean that." No, you meant it. You can try to explain it the way, it doesn't matter, because your unguided moment actually came out. What's on inside just came out. There's no way you can take it back, because that's exactly what's in the soul. Now it comes out. And then we can say, "Well, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say that." No, that's exactly what is in your soul. And it has ways of coming out. It reveals exactly the content of what's in our mind. So this passage that I read you indicates that what comes out then out of our mouth reveals what is in our minds. So if the mind is contaminated by sinful thoughts, then what a person spews out are bound to be words that are unpleasant and harmful. Now this truth is clearly demonstrated in every human relationship, especially that between a husband and a wife. There is no way a husband or a wife will say hurtful things to each other without the soul being contaminated with, at least momentarily, with hate or evil thought. It is just not going to happen. Now, you know, notice what I say, momentarily. I know you tell me you love your wife, you love your husband. I understand that. But the moment you momentarily hate that husband or wife, you're going to spew out things that you didn't believe would come out of your mouth. That's what I'm explaining. So, the mind polluted with sin, you know, is one that will say harmful things to the other spouse. So that's the issue that you understand. There's no way on this planet you're going to say something that will hurt your spouse, except that your mind is polluted with sin. In other words, you just want to say something to hurt them. Why would you want to do that? Because in your mind, you feel of hate. And I know that sounds almost unbelievable, but that's true. Otherwise, why would you say something that's hurtful to a person? Especially one you claim to love. Now, on the contrary, though, if the mind is free of sinful thoughts, then what comes out of that mouth will be useful and pleasant. Now, the implication is that only when there is love in the soul for, say, a spouse, can words that are soothing come out of the mouth. You don't believe me? Go home and check yourself. Now the point is that in order to utter words that will win you favor, you should be careful that your soul is free of sin or contamination. If you have that, whatever comes out of your mouth will be useful. Be that then as it may, the assassin of Solomon in the first clause of Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 12 that we're considering, when it says, "Words from a wise man's mouth are gracious," of the NIV that we have been considering, can be considered an absolute declaration. If we understand the Hebrew line as saying that the words of the wise are beneficial in a general sense. Now this is because if we take the translation, "the words of a wise person win him favor," then the sentence cannot be understood necessarily in the absolute sense, since the words of a wise person may not be appreciated or accepted by the wicked or the fool. However, if we take the translation of the NIV, then the first clause of verse 12 becomes an absolute assertion, indicating that a wise person's speech is always gracious. Always. That is going to be an absolute declaration. So the point is that it is necessary to recognize that the Hebrew line conveys that which is absolute if we take the meaning in a general sense. Now, this notwithstanding, we believe that the Holy Spirit wants us to understand the Hebrew line in a general sense, whereby both translations that use the word grace or favor are implied. In other words, the Hebrew line indicates that the words of the wise win him favor because he is gracious in his use of words. Therefore, if you are wise, then that should be evident in the words you use in addressing others. The words you use will be beneficial to you and to others. Anyhow, the message we're expanding is that you should be careful with your words because they have impact on you and reveal if you are wise or a fool. Now, based on this message, we have presented a first major point you should hold on to when you think of the message of this passage of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verses 12 through 15. And is that the words of the wise have positive impact on him and others. So that when your words that come out of your mouth are very helpful with positive effect on people, at that point you're acting as a wise person. So, with that point on, we move to consider a second point of this message. A second major point of this message is that the words of the fool have negative impact and distinctive features. The words of the fool have negative impacts and distinctive features. Now, this means that the second point is concerned with the impacts of the word of the fool and the distinctive features of the words of a fool. Now, we begin with the consideration of the impact of the words of the fool, which is to bring harm to self. It is this harm that is given in the contrasting clause of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 12, where it says, "But a fool is consumed by his own lips." Now, the contrasting clause, "But a fool is consumed by his own lips," is still concerned with the use of words. Now, this is because of the word lips. It is translated from a Hebrew noun that literally refers to human lips that surround the mouth and are indeed the organs of speech. It is in this sense that Daniel used it to describe his vision in Daniel, in a literal sense, in Daniel chapter 10, verse 16. Daniel chapter 10, verse 16. He reads, "The one who looked like a man touched my lips," literally, "and I opened my mouth and began to speak. I said to the one standing before me, 'I am overcome with anguish because of the vision, my Lord, and I am helpless.'" Now, even in the literal usage, the word can be used as a synonym for the mouth, as in David's confession in Psalms 51, verse 15. Psalms 51, verse 15. He reads, O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth will declare your praise. So here, lips really is used for mouth. However, the Hebrew word is also used many times in a figurative manner. It can refer to the manner of speech or language, as it is used still in Psalms 81 verse 5. Psalms 81 verse 5. He reads, He established it as a statute for Joseph when he went out against Egypt, where we had a language we did not understand. Now the expression, a language we did not understand, is literally from the Hebrew, a lip I have not known. A lip I have not known. That clearly is an idiom for a foreign language. Now the Hebrew now though can also simply mean speech. As in Proverbs chapter 22 verse 11. Proverbs, which we've seen before, Proverbs 22:11, simply say, He who loves a pure heart and whose speech is gracious will have the king for his friend. Here the word is, the expression speech is gracious is literally grace of his lips. Grace of his lips. And that refers to the speech that comes out of a mouth in a gracious manner. Now the Hebrew noun also can be used in idiomatic expressions. For example, it can be used to indicate that one is silent, as in Proverbs 17 verse 28. Proverbs 17 verse 28. He reads, Even a fool is thought wise if he keeps silent and discerning if he holds his tongue. Now, a little rendering of the verse is, even a fool keeping silence is reckoned wise. He who is shutting his lips, intelligent. In other words, you can look dignified and look smart. Well, you don't know what it is all about, keep your mouth shut. Because once you open up your mouth, you reveal your ignorance or whatever. But if you close your mouth, you look dignified. And think, people think, oh yeah, he's smart or she's smart. Don't have a clue as to what's going on. But that's where people perceive. That's what Proverbs is telling us here. So this the second line of the literal indication translation I'm giving you indicates then that the shutting off of the lips is the same as keeping silent of the first line. Anyhow, it is in the sense of speech, in terms of words spoken to communicate to others, that the word is used in a passage, implying that it is the speech or the words of the fool that destroy him. In the clause when it says, but a fool is consumed by his own lips, in Ecclesiastes 10:12 that we're studying. Now, by the way, we should be clear that the word consumed in this passage has a negative connotation. Now, we say this because the word consumed may be misunderstood as one being preoccupied with something. Now, that is not the sense used here. Instead, it is in the sense of causing harm that is used in this passage as we note later. But the clause, though, but a fool is consumed by his own lips, raises two questions. First, how did the words of the fool bring destruction on him? Second, what are the destructions or troubles that a fool can bring on himself through his words? Now the passage did not directly answer these two questions, but the context of the scripture enables us to answer them. We begin with the first question of how the words of a fool bring destruction on him. Now, in answering this, we should recognize that a fool is a person who lacks understanding. Therefore, the first thing a fool does in his speech that brings destruction for him is that he speaks without careful consideration of the consequences of what he says. Now, because he does not think of the consequences of what he says, he becomes loose with facts. He becomes loose with facts. Now, this means that he will be quick to slander others. No wonder a slanderer is described as a fool in Proverbs chapter 10, verse 18. Proverbs Proverbs chapter 10 verse 18 reads, "He who conceals his hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool." So slander usually involves stating that which is bad or spreading that which is a rumor. In addition, slander usually involves hatred. A slanderer will pass rumors as factual without basis. So, a fool gets involved in slander. Of course, when a person slanders, there's usually an element of falsehood involved. Furthermore, a person who slanders subjects himself to God's judgment, as the scripture states. The psalmist indicates that the king will banish from his court a slanderer, implying that God's judgment on the slanderer is forthcoming, as implied in Psalms 101, verse 5. Psalms 101, verse 5. He reads, "Whoever slanders his neighbor in secret, him I will put to silence. Whoever has haughty eyes and a proud heart, him will I not endure." So the fact that slander draws judgment indicates that a fool brings destruction of himself through slander. So we are saying that there are two ways a fool brings destruction on himself through his words. The first is that he speaks without careful thought to the consequences of what he was about to say. The second is through slander. Therefore, if your words or your speech shows any of these actions, then you have become a fool, whether you know it or not. Now, to the second question of the type of troubles a fool brings upon himself, there are at least two kinds of trouble a fool can become engulfed, excluding the reference we made with respect to slander. But before we get to this, let me clarify the word trouble that we use, since the verb used in our second clause of Ecclesiastes chapter 10 verse 12 is consumed. That's the verb used, consumed. Now the word is translated from a Hebrew verb that in the Hebrew form that the word is used in our passage, it means to swallow up, to engulf. Now the verb can be used figuratively in connection with destruction or ruin. Now the sense in our passage does not seem to be total destruction, but that the words of the fool are harmful to him. Thus it is better to recognize that the words of the fool bring trouble on him. And the book of Proverbs makes several references to the trouble a fool brings upon himself. Consider, for example, what is stated in Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 3. He reads, "A fool's talk brings a rod to his back, but the lips of the wise protect them." So with this explanation and coming then, let us consider the types of troubles the fool brings upon himself. A first kind of trouble is constant strife or getting into fights with others. The second is entrapment of himself with words that cause him trouble. Now, these two kinds of troubles are mentioned collectively in Proverbs chapter 18, verses 6 and 7. Proverbs chapter 18, verses 6 and 7. It reads, "A fool's lips bring him strife, and his mouth invites a beating." Then he said, "A fool's mouth is his undoing, and his lips are a snare to his soul." Now in verse 6, the use of lips is a reference to speech, and mouth in verse 7 also refers to what the fool says. So the result of the speech or the words of a fool are strife and entrapment of himself. Now the word strife used here refers to fighting, hatred, and bad relations in the community. So the word snare refers to entrapment of self through what one says. So a fool can trap himself through what he says. Now Jesus illustrated how the words of a fool can entrap him and so bring harm to himself in that parable of the 10 minas in Luke chapter 11 verse 22. Luke 19, verse 22. Here, in the parable, we say, "His master replied, 'I will judge you by your own words, you wicked servant. You knew, did you, that I'm a hard man, taking out what I did not put in, and reaping what I did not sow.'" Now, I say, because he's a fool, he uttered something, didn't know, is going to come back and be used against him. Now another illustration of this entrapment of a fool by what he says is given in the man who was a fool because he did not think of the consequences of what he was about to claim. Now we are referring to the man that claimed to have killed King Saul. He misjudged how David will react to his claim. So, his words led to his death, according to 2 Samuel, chapter 1, verse 16. It is, "For David said to him, 'Your blood be on your head. Your own mouth testified against you when you said, I killed the Lord's anointed.'" See, he was a fool. He claimed what he thought he was impressing David. And look at what he did to him. He brought about his death. So the point is that a fool brings shame on himself because he is not careful in what he says. So you should avoid being a fool by being careful and thoughtful with what you say. In any event, the second major point of the message of the passage of Ecclesiastes chapter 10, 12 through 15 is that the words of the fool have negative impact and distinctive features. We have just introduced it, but we will continue with it next week. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for the study of your word. We pray that God, the Holy Spirit, will keep us mindful of our use of words, so that we do not harm ourselves or others. This is a request in Christ's name. Amen.